got some free tickets. Look out for a brother. Going downfield. Oh, what a play by Southern. He's played a lot.
All right, good morning to everybody. This is the Jaguar Journal. Hope you guys are having a good morning. Shout out to everybody watching us on our YouTube channel. As always, I love to have your support on there. Our subscribers are steady growing. Guess what? I guess it's working. You guys are listening to me. I guess the shows are getting better, and I'm not so annoying at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning anymore to you guys. So I appreciate the growing support, man. We love it here, and thank you guys for everything that you do. As we have seen the subscribers go up, the viewers going up. Man, and just thank you guys for everything that you're doing. It is paying off. So if you haven't, here we go. Hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel. Guess what? It costs you nothing. I don't need your birth certificate. I don't need anything. Social Security number. I just need your love and support because guess what? As the season continues to progress, as we're talking about football and everything else surrounding, we're going to have guests, and you're going to hear me break down these games along with others. And, man, I love to have you guys right here with us. And for a lot of you, if you don't get a chance to catch us for the full two-hour show, this gives you an opportunity to go back and listen, especially on those road trips when Southern does, like today, heads over to Lake Charles. I'll get you all the way to Lake Charles with a two-hour show. From Baton Rouge to Lake Charles, I have you prepped and ready by the time you get into the stadium. You'll know everything you need to know about McNeese State as well as Southern University. And guess what? You just found out the band will be there. You know where to go get your apparel from my man Thomas White with Mogul Threads. So for 2 hours, I'll get you where you need to go, and that's why it's important for you guys to hit that subscribe button on the YouTube channel and everybody watching on our Facebook. And guess what? For the hundreds of thousands of people that listen on the radio waves this morning, good morning to you guys, to Baton Rouge, Alexandria, and all across the state of Louisiana. Glad to have you guys with us. Just to let you know, to fill you in on today's weather for Lake Charles, right now it's 75 degrees over in Lake Charles. The high is going to be about 84. There's a chance of rain in the forecast, the way I'm looking at it right now. At about 5, 6 o'clock today, it's going to clear up about 30%. And I don't see anything about kickoff. It's going to be about 79 degrees at kickoff. Look like the rain is going to push out right when this thing is going to kick off. So if you're going to head over there today, just kind of hold off a little bit. It'll be okay. As game time gets around 6 o'clock kickoff, things seem to be clearing up for the Southern University versus McNeese State football game. Hope you guys are ready for a big day of football as these two teams will take on each other. 7 o'clock, excuse me. I'm saying 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock kickoff. Even better. Even better. No rain in the forecast at 7 o'clock as McNeese State and Southern University battle this thing out. 7 o'clock tonight, Lake Charles. Get you guys ready. Man, hey, you know traffic is going to be a little heavy. So properly plan. Get there in the amount of time, especially if you're going to get there and you're talking about weather along with it also. So you got to plan properly. Don't try to pull up in there 30 minutes before the game and act like you're going to find a parking spot and everything is going to work out. You know better. You know better, especially on away games in the state of Louisiana. You know how we do. We go break stadium attendance records. That's what we do. We love to travel. We like to go take over other people's stadiums. That's going to be in full effect today. And for me, once again, Terrence Graves takes over this program. This is now his program. A lot of people want to know how this thing is going to look, including myself. I've seen the Jaguars, but I haven't seen them against nobody else. I've seen them against each other. I'm curious to see because I watched McNeese State last week against Tarleton. In the first half, that McNeese State team I saw, I said, look, hey, I like what I see. That second half, I said, man, this could be a problem. They held Tarleton State on the first four possessions of the third quarter to only 19 yards. And listen, Tarleton State had a pretty damn good running back in Britton, Kavion Britton, who had transferred from over from UAPB. But their starting quarterback hurt his hand, and they ultimately took him out, and the second string came in. And McNeese State held up in the second half, holding Tarleton State scoreless and battled themselves back into that ball game. But we're going to talk more about that here at the top of the hour. It's my boy Blue Zach coming to you about FCS football. We're going to break down McNeese State football team, 50-plus transfers joining that football team, and give you everything you need to know about today's opponent over in Lake Charles. So when you get there, nobody will catch you off guard about who is this kid. I don't know nothing about this kid. We're going to fill you all the way in as we break down today's big matchup between Southern and McNeese, an FCS in-state game, which I love when these type happen. All right, so you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're at the top of the hour. When you come back, we're going to talk some McNeese State and break down the game for you, all right?
Southern was a little late to the game of football. They had started earlier in the CIAA up at Hampton and those schools up there. And when Dr. Clark became, J.S. Clark became president of Southern University in 1914, he had already visited the Tuskegee and these Howard and the other schools, and they had a football program. And he wanted to compete with them, not just in the classroom, but also on the football field. So it started as an intramural. We had intramurals when it first came in 1914 through 1916-17. And then the intramural program evolved into the varsity, into the football program we know in 1918. Coach Big Charlie Holmes from Colorado State, he came here as an assistant coach, but he took over around 1922, 1923, and he did very well through the early 20s. But he came up to 26, he broke even, he was expected to do well, and 27. I don't find any records where he won any games there, and he was replaced. But the person he was replaced by was a legendary. Name is Bryce Union Taylor from the University of Southern California. Out there, he had been an All-American. He was the guy that stopped the four horsemen of Notre Dame. And then he went to Chapman University in South Carolina at 27. In 1928, he became the head football coach at Southern University and athletic director. And he really put Southern on the map. He had a lot of firsts. First of all, he had the first All-Americans we had came under him. Therefore, he had the greatest winning percentage in Southern University. He won 85% of his game here, and he had our first undefeated season in 1931 when he was 7-0. But he was not declared national champ, but he was considered for that. But he was our first great coach during that early period, Bryce Union Taylor. We don't want to forget him. Arnett W. Mumford, he's a national icon in coaching. He had coached 10 years in Texas, Jarvis Christians, Bishop, and Texas College. But the last 5 or 6 years at Texas College, he was very, very outstanding. He won 2 SWAC titles, and he had won a national black championship at Texas College and 35. So therefore, Southern was interested in getting him here, and Dr. Felton Clark was very instrumental, the person to get him here. But his impact, it goes much further than Southern University and State of Louisiana. He won 12 SWAC titles, 10 of them at Southern and 2 at Texas College. And he won 5 or 6 national black championships. And also, he was very successful in the first interracial bowl game, the Fruit Bowl in San Francisco in 1948 when he played San Francisco State. And he won that game decisively. But his influence extended much further than the boundaries of Southern University. He was recognized nationally as a great coach. His winning record, he didn't coach over a period of 35 years, and a couple of those years they didn't have teams because of the war, but he won 246 games, second only to Eddie Robinson with his 402 game over 55 years, I should add. And so they always had large supporters, and they would follow the team everywhere. They would go in large numbers. So Southern became the team that everyone loves to beat. Loves every Saturday. It's the toughest game we have every Saturday. So if they don't win another game, they figure if they win the Southern game, they had a good season. And because we carry a large crowd with us everywhere we go, too, so a lot of people like that. And we like to brag about how good we are. And of course, that hips up. But it is a vista to the university, using the football athletics period to use that way to introduce the university to people who may not have known the university. Went through a period of 30 years, I believe it was, after Mom until we got Coach Peach Richardson in 1982-83, and then he returned us to the glory years. Rivalry with Grambling has always been there because it's an intrastate rivalry. And we played Grambling a few times before 1948, but after then, we didn't play them anymore until I became a member of SWAC in 1959. But fam, you feel that void with Jake Gaither and A.W. Mumford. Those were some of the greatest games that you ever would see. And they became our main rivalry, after 1948. But the exposure that we, the biggest thing that we can say about the rivalry is that the
All right, good morning, everybody. We are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. I'm reporting live right here, Guaranteed Broadcast downtown Baton Rouge. It is week one college football, and as we're talking about college football, of course, we're dedicated to Southern University. We're going to talk some swag, MEAC, and all some other stuff. But as we talk about today, Jaguar Nation, I know you guys are ready to see what they call the Grays edition. Coach Terrence Grays and the Southern University Jaguars hit the road to head over to Lake Charles, Louisiana, to take on McNeese State. And nobody better to talk about McNeese State as we break down today's game is my man Blue Zach McKenna from FCS Sport Football Central. Good morning, Zach.
What's up, man? I appreciate you having me on the show again.
Man, look, nobody better to talk some FCS football than you, man. You know, I get caught up with a lot of people. We talk SWAC and MEAC, but outside of that, man, I enjoy having the conversations with you because I do pay attention to a lot of other conferences, whether it's FCS football, Group of Five, and, of course, like most of us, Power Five. But it's just good to be able to have the conversation with you. And most importantly, today's opponent that Southern's taking on is an FCS opponent also in McNeese State coming out of the Southland Conference. This team, as you talked to me last time, brought in over 50-plus transfers in their first-year head coach. And then one of those transfers is going to be their starting quarterback today, Clifton McDowell, a guy that was initially committed to Southern 2 years ago. He went over to Montana, started 10 games once they named him the starter, led them to an FCS national championship appearance, and they fell short against defending national champion South Dakota State. But then he transfers Prairie View for a quick second, then decommits, and then comes over to Lake Charles, and now he's the top guy over at McNeese. But, Zach, as we look at the entire McNeese State matchup, let's start with their head coach. Talk to me a little bit about their head coach.
Yeah, man, listen, Goff has had a lot of success in his career as a head coach. It just hasn't necessarily transitioned to McNeese as much. I mean, you got to remember, he was 22-3 over his two seasons at Valdosta State before he took over McNeese. He led them to the national championship in 2021, but it's just been a rebuild at McNeese, and they went 4-7 that first year. Last year, the wheels kind of fell off as the quarterback was really atrocious, man. At times, the defense was allowing over 250 yards rushing a game. No quarterback, no offensive production. They went 0-10 on the field. Technically, their only win was a forfeit win against Northwestern State due to that unfortunate situation that happened over there. But I think you saw some promise last week out of them. But I think Goff this week, this might be a must-win, Perry. I don't know if McNeese can afford to buy him out this year, but in terms of just the overall momentum of the program, I think this is a big one. If he loses this game, you look at that schedule and you wonder, where does the win come for them? Because they do have a tough schedule. I think even Northwestern State looked really good in their FCS game 2 nights ago. But you get Southern, and then you go to at Texas A&M, and then you get Stephen F. Austin, Alcorn, and Weber State your next three games. So you could easily be going into the bulk of your conference schedule winless if you don't get this game.
You know, you look at McNeese, let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Let's start with the offensive line and work our way out. What do we know about the offensive line, Blue?
Listen, they got one of my favorite interior offensive linemen in Cole LeClaire. He's a multi-time starter, all-conference guy, has been one of the highest-graded interior offensive linemen probably over the past 2 years at the FCS level. He only allowed one sack last year, only 7 total quarterback pressures in over 600 snaps last year. And the year before, it was actually his highest graded year according to Pro Football Focus when he played as a true freshman. The kid's got good size, 6'3", 306, super, super fundamental. I think Cole LeClaire is a guy you should look at and have some high hopes for. And then last week, Elijah Melendez at right tackle and William Bressy at right guard both looked really good. Actually, two of the higher graded offensive linemen in week zero in the entire country. Both of those guys look like they had some. I